Good morning, everybody. Lizzie and I are both poised to say hello and good morning to you this morning. We clearly haven't remembered whose go it is. It's mine because Lizzie has chosen this week's source. So good morning, everyone. This is Turning Towards Life. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here, as often at the moment, a few minutes after our planned time. Technical kerfuffles have held us up, but here we are by the miracle of Zoom and Facebook live streaming. We're here, Lizzie, both you and I together, but also with everyone else who's with us. So I want to say good morning to all of you. You are so welcome, whether you're one of the many people who've just joined us, and we know that lots of people are coming our way at the moment, which is so beautiful and we feel so grateful for, or whether you're someone who's been following and participating in this project, in this practice for many, many, many weeks. You are so welcome. So it's May and it's just after 9 in London, and it's a blustery, sunny day. And here we are, Lizzie, you and I.
Here we are. Thank you, Justin, for welcoming us all in here. Good morning to everybody who's here. Good morning to you, Justin. This is lovely to feel this yet again in the week, this rhythm that we have of sitting and doing this. Today, the technical kerfuffles were mine, and as I guess that's part of the miracle of coming here is that one of the things we take for granted is that things work. And then when they don't, it always seems like a bit of a shock to me, especially with technology. I expect so much of it all the time. Anyway, here we are. And this source is a beautiful one by Jeff Foster. And this week, I wanted to find a way of speaking about this already here-ness that exists in our lives. And this piece of writing was the thing that stuck out as to facilitate that conversation with you, Justin. And I found myself being invited into this kind of presence that sees things differently. And actually, Justin, you and I had a conversation last week about me when I was younger and the kind of awakenings that I had had and how what my distortions looked like back then. And I think you said to me, Justin, but it's clear that you were also really there. Your who-ness was also there in all the distortion, which is what had me see that there was something wrong. There was something not right about my life. It was that me-ness that knew the truth of things that was there at the same time as the distortions all being there. And that kind of got me really thinking about even when I feel like all is lost and I'm a mess or something, it's not without this presence that is who I really am. So then I started thinking about that some more and actually did a session with somebody on Thursday last week or this week just gone. And this was the thing, as you know, Justin, like when we're in some in an inquiry ourselves, often our clients come with the same kind of thing. So it just kind of confirmed this little path of inquiry that I've been on this week about essence being present with personality, if you like the truth of me, which is way bigger than I can even understand and imagine, and which I get glimpses of, is always here, no matter how distorted things get. And I felt like Jeff's writing really helped me kind of unpack that, so I wanted to bring it this week. So I'm going to read. This is called Bathe the Moment in Light by Jeff Foster. The old chair is here, offering itself, whispering, "Come, sit down, rest. You're weary. See, I am here." And the carpet that you've never really looked at before, never really valued before, because you've been so busy looking for enlightenment and salvation and love in the future. See how it just lies here, offering itself fully to you, prostrate in your presence, whispering, "Come, lie, sit, stand. I ask nothing of you. I want nothing. I'm here." You didn't truly see the carpet because you wanted to get enlightened first. You wanted to be an enlightened person standing on the carpet. You were going to work on yourself for 40 years, meditate your way to nirvana, heal your traumas, perfect yourself, transcend your ego, or wait until you were ready before valuing the carpet. Seeing the carpet, recognizing the carpet as a divine expression and a tremendous gift. It was all a postponement, you see. It was all a movement away from what is, from the extraordinary sacredness of the ordinary. It was a displacement into a future that could never come. The carpet was always here. The chair was always here, ready, alive, innocent, waiting. Life was always here, offering itself, showing itself, calling you, beckoning you to finally see it, inviting you to awaken, to come alive, to be a child of awareness. And yet, you've been so busy moving away into a future, into a dream. Just take a moment, any moment, this moment, and behold it in loving awareness. Bathe it in your light.
You didn't truly see the carpet because you wanted to get enlightened first. You wanted to be an enlightened person standing on the carpet. You were going to work on yourself for 40 years, meditate your way to nirvana, heal your traumas, perfect yourself, transcend your ego, or wait until you were ready before valuing the carpet, seeing the carpet, recognizing the carpet as a divine expression and a tremendous gift. It was all a postponement, you see. It was all a movement away from what is, from the extraordinary sacredness of the ordinary. It was a displacement into a future that could never come. The carpet was always here. The chair was always here, ready, alive, innocent, waiting. Life was always here, offering itself, showing itself, calling you, beckoning you to finally see it, inviting you to awaken, to come alive, to be a child of awareness. And yet, you've been so busy moving away into a future, into a dream. Just take a moment. Any moment, this moment, and behold it in loving awareness. Bathe it in your light.
Thank you. So as you read it back this time, Justin, I'm so aware that most of us are with our carpets and our chairs more than usual. And how this beautiful invitation into the ordinary and the stillness of what's here already feels really appropriate for right now. And it has me feel into all the ways I have dismissed so much. Stuff that's just there, including humans, not just chairs, in service of something more, something bigger, something more exciting, something more tantalizing. And it's a very, for me, like, feels like a very humble return to see the generosity of the things that are always there and that never take themselves away just because you went away. They don't do the same thing. They stay, and patiently, the carpet patiently waits. And it feels like a really beautiful invitation to turn towards unobvious things that hold us. But I also feel really moved by this last line, which is bathe it in your light. So it's not like wait for the carpet or stand there while the carpet becomes something. It's us and our light bathing those things in us. It's like bringing things our attention And I feel like it puts a whole nother approach or relationship to how I interact with things, that things aren't here for me only, I'm also here for them. And I think it's an act of self-remembrance to see that I have something to bring to the party, rather than expecting everything to, or feeling like everything should be in coming this way towards me.
I was thinking a lot whilst you were talking and on reading Jeff's piece, Lizzie, about how seductive the move away is, and how pretty much anything can be packaged up, and we can also get involved in this packaging. Anything can be packaged up as a sort of potential savior, a potential rescue from our lives, including very well-intentioned wish that any of us might have to somehow get over our own obsessions, get over our own narcissism, get over our own egos, all of that, you know, all of that that would have us arrive in our lives can also become a way that we try to escape our lives. And I think that Jeff has captured this really, really beautifully. Let me suspend really meeting my life until, and the until is usually something like, until I've found the magic key, when I will finally be able to be in my own life without, I think often, at least in the way it's occurred for me, is like without pain or without grief or without doubt or without any of the, and only then will I arrive in my life, and then I'll be a proper person. And Jeff's got lots of different words for it, like being an enlightened person or getting over our traumas, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's incredibly seductive, partly because there is that in us which wants to move away, which wants to move away from the feeling of being here. And I also think it's seductive because it's part of the bigger cultural narrative that has been around for a few hundred years, which is the narrative of progress, which is progress will free us. And so we apply that to ourselves as well. If I just buy the right product, or I read the right book, or if I... So I really love the way that Jeff is pointing us at the same time to two parallel things, which are really important. One is the futility of that. And in a way, the sort of arrogance of it, where I think that somehow I'm going to become the one who can uniquely be in life. Then I'll be, you know,
yeah,
I'll feel better because I'll be better than everyone else. I think that's part of the thing that I can feel. And the danger of it is, of course, as you were saying so beautifully, and as Jeff was writing, that in the process of trying to do that, we just absent ourselves from our lives. And it is also dangerous for us because we can also get into a giant cycle of, I'll go on a course, or I'll buy a book, or I'll take up a practice, and the whole idea that we would be rescued from the life that we're already from in some way having to be a living something. Of course there are times we want to be rescued from the circumstances that we're in, and quite understandably if we're in pain or being badly treated or yes, all of that. But the sort of the bigger arc of this is that somehow I'll get rescued from the trouble and complexity and feeling of living in life. So it's a really powerful reminder. I find as I'm letting Jeff's words reach me, to remember that although there's lots that we can do and lots to attend to and lots that we can work on and improve for ourselves and other people all the time, that life and we were always here right from the very start, and there's nowhere to get away to. There's just, for all of us, there's just life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really big invite. And I can feel also that the response to it's like, it's quite frightening, you know, to let go of the things that I've believed might save me, you know, to actually see them as like barking up the wrong tree. It's quite hard to stop barking up that tree because it's a really deep belief that those things might save me. It's like I've been working on that basis for a long time. That feeling arises in me of like, oh God, but if I let that go, what's here? That project, if I let that project go of distracting myself, what am I going to have to face? What am I going to have to encounter? And am I of any substance anyway? You know, if I was to just face into me, what's here? You know, without the strategies of, I don't know, maybe helping people or doing loads of things or buying lots of stuff or reading loads of books or going on lots of courses or like whatever the thing is, if I don't do those things, what's here? And in a way, maybe that's what this time is also gifting us, is a kind of enforced encounter with ourselves, which has opportunity in it that we can see those things as let go for us, like we didn't have to let them go ourselves, but something let them go for us, and we could face what's here and it's a really confronting thing. You know, for me, it's like a facing of whatever I've been trying to fill myself up with. Implicit in that is that there's an emptiness that needs filling, and therefore the emptiness is the thing that I might have to look at because I'm not doing the normal filling up. And because it feels like a filling up, the inherent emptiness is kind of what's to encounter. By not filling up, I have to be in the nothingness, the emptiness, the kind of no man's land of meanness, of what's here, who am I? Something like that. It's tricky for me to phrase like what it is that I feel, but it's a kind of, it's a kind of realm where there's no content, and yet in sitting in it, it just feels like there is so much there, and yet I've been turning away from it. And I still, you know, every day I turn away. And so these moments of turning towards and remembering, it's like all of the ways I am seeking outside of myself, which never deliver the thing I'm looking for, ever. In the moments where I turn towards me, it's like if I can be present and stay, what I'm looking for gets delivered somehow. And I get glimpses of, oh, I didn't need to be doing that. I didn't need to be running around. I didn't need to be grasping. I didn't need to be filling up. Because somehow inherent in me is the thing that I was looking for. So it also gives me hope though, because if we can see what we are doing, it might give us an indication or like an inkling of what might be waiting for us if we return home. Like in the distortion is also the gold, and to sit and to be and to encounter myself. I can see all the things that I was looking for were pointing me actually also to who I am. I'm not sure if that's even making sense.
It's tricky to talk about, isn't it? It does, well, it does make sense to me. What you're saying is having me ponder on, Lizzie, is this sense that we have that there's something missing.
Yeah.
And I think that we probably all, it's an ordinary part of our becoming a human being, is to find that there are things missing that we need and want, and to become people who act on behalf of addressing what's missing. And it starts with very basic things like, will somebody feed me?
Mm.
I mean, you know this because you have Vesper in your life, and what it is to have a tiny person who's really, really needy that we have to take care of. So we enter into the world feeling very, very acutely that there's a lot that's missing that needs to be taken care of, and learning more and more how to act. First of all, hoping that there will be people who take care of us, who will bring us what's missing. And then later on, as we come into language and into action, we can start to act to get what we need that's missing, which might be food or warmth or all of those kind of things. So it seems to me it's a really ordinary, necessary part of being a human, this feeling, and then our capacity to do something about it.
Yeah.
But the mistake that we make is if we don't also find out that a lot of what we felt was missing isn't missing, and a lot of our pursuit, so we can take that sort of basic need and we can turn it into some kind of deficiency about ourselves. Like we grow into living as if, well, because I can feel always that there's something missing, there's something that could be that isn't, there must be something wrong with me.
Mm.
And if I get really, really, really busy and work really, really, really hard and buy lots and lots and lots of stuff and enter into lots of different relationships and, you know, keep on sort of trying to fill myself, eventually what will happen is I'll become the enlightened person that Jeff talks about, when I will no longer have any needs and I will be able to sit on a cloud in the divine light, you know. Mm-hmm. And that I think is where the mistake is that we make, because to feel that there's something missing is part of the ordinary everydayness of being a human. And then also to find out that a lot of what we imagined was missing is not missing. That we've somehow made a sort of, we've overextended this sense of, to be a person is to be one who just sort of consumes until we're full. Because the carpet, however threadbare it is right there waiting for us. And when we bring our attention to it, how miraculous it is that people know how to make carpet, and there are other people who know how to make the raw materials for the carpet, and then there are people who know how to put all of that together into a carpet and then transport it to where the carpets are needed, and there are people who know how to fit it, and there's a carpet. And it turns out that when we, I'm going to say it one of two ways. First of all, relax our sense that just there's everything is missing all the time, and begin to see what's here. Mm-hmm. But also when we learn to live, there's a word I'm searching for, this Lizzie, when we learn to live, I was going to say honestly, it's a funny word to choose, but that's what I'll say for the moment. In the light of this, of knowing that part of to be human is to feel this way, something very, very, very big opens up when we're no longer trying even to. This is the bit that is where I'm going to stop, because I'm struggling to find words for it. But, you know, one of the things that we feel like is missing is the feeling of there not being things missing. If I keep going long enough, I won't feel that way. And then, but it might take me 40 years or 80 years or something.
Yeah.
Instead of somehow finding a way to go, this is here I am. This is my life with all that it feels like to be in. Here I am.
Mm. Yeah. It's so interesting how elusive the words feel sometimes. And what just arose for me was when you said about something being missing. It's like, if we can hold the feeling of something being missing here, like have it in our hands and not have it be the driver of what we do and how we see and how we experience and how we act, maybe by having it here, by acknowledging it, it in some way depowers it and makes it ordinary, like you said, like, oh, that's just what it means to be human, is to have that feeling flying around. But let me not put that feeling in the driving seat of my life, but just acknowledge it's just part of being a person, is to feel like there's something missing. And I can hold that in my awareness and go, okay, so is that thing now driving the decision I'm making? And it might be, and that's fine. But just to know that, so that it doesn't become the thing, my futile mission doesn't get perpetuated by being unconscious about the fact that that's what's driving it. So it feels a really hopeful thing to go, oh, okay, so we're naming this sense that something is lacking, something's missing. And in response to that, I've been running around trying to address that, when addressing it that way, most of us have enough experience of this now to know that it doesn't. My own experience of this, by the way, and still is this, was realizing that when I was going to do something like go somewhere exciting, I would be so glad I was going, and then I would get there and I would realize that the experience of anticipation was much more interesting than the actual experience itself. So I'd be trying to like fill myself up with this experience and get so excited about the fullness I was going to feel and the satisfaction I was going to experience and how like an episode of Friends my life was going to become in any second once I get to this place, kind of thing. That literally is my story about things, as if it's not an like certainly in bits, big chunks of my life, if it's not an episode of Friends, it's not worth anything. You know, that was the kind of story for me, and still in some ways is now, much less though. And then I would arrive there and go, really? Really? Because I'd had so many standards, so many expectations built up that nothing could ever live up to the thing I'd made it into in my mind anyway, because it was never real. And so then reality would completely pass me by. And so I think this is such an important dynamic to notice, because I can see years of missing out, actually, ironically, actually missing out on life, because I didn't know how to be anywhere. Because the way I was being everywhere was filled with expectations, standards, anticipatory kind of energy that wouldn't allow me to be present. And so in acknowledgement of this, something's missing, it's like a call to like sobriety, like a call to sense, a call to something humble and receptive, rather than grabbing onto things and trying to make them the way that they need to be inside the narrative that I've created about filling up that hole. And just the acknowledgement and the understanding of the humanness, like you said, like this is an ordinary thing, but it's also not the thing to run your life on. It's really good to know it, but maybe we can know it and not let it pull us backwards by the hair through our lives, so we don't even know that that's what's happening.
So beautifully said. And you were helping me. I'm going to have another go at seeing if I can say this tricky thing.
Yeah.
Because I love the way that you're saying this, because it seems so clear that to feel like there's something missing is very ordinary. To have our lives be run by it has all kinds of consequences, but many of which Jeff is pointing to in what he wrote. And that our attempts to be someone for whom there is not the feeling that something is missing is another way of trying to fill in something that's missing. One day I'll be somebody who doesn't feel this way.
Yeah.
And then I'll be able to be in my life, except that it's just another version of the same thing. So it's a very beautiful invitation, Lizzie, that I think you're making, which is, can we live acknowledging that there are ways in our lives in which nothing is missing when we see and feel the way that the carpet is here and we bring our attention to it and it's supporting us, like just like it always has done? And can we also at the same time include the feeling that there are things missing and have them rather than be had by them? And then we might have a chance of living in a way that isn't always in some kind of comparison. I was thinking about, you know, like a ton of examples from my own life of not being in the circumstance because either I'd had, like you said, either I'd spent all of my time inventing a way that it was going to be and finding out that it wasn't, yeah, or being in something and already being in a comparison with what it isn't. I mean, I remember I've been thinking about this a lot in this period about some things that I have really loved in my life, like going and seeing live music, for example, which is just not possible now. And we don't know how long it won't be possible for. And I was thinking the last time I went to see a band who I really like, really love in a big venue, who put on a fantastic concert. And all I could feel when I was there was, it didn't feel the way I imagined it would feel when I was imagining what it was going to be like to go. And I missed the whole concert because of exactly this, instead of, and I think that this is the bit that I'm just getting to now, in order to turn towards what's here, for most of us, at least for me, it's like a giant out-breath. I have to stop all of this. If I keep on holding and I'll get life to be how I want. It's almost like that's the effort I'm making. I'll get myself to be the way I'm supposed to be, or I'll get the situation to be the way it's supposed to be. And sometimes we can. I can bring you a cup of tea and I can take care of something in you, or you can bring one to me and I can feel. But in many, many other ways, there's what's called for is, this is how it is. And frankly, if I was in the last seconds of my life and I was given the opportunity to revisit the most humdrum, mundane, you know, sitting on a crowded bus in the rain when I'm tired and it's hot and there's nowhere to sit and I don't want to be there, I would grasp at that gladly if I knew that I wasn't going to have any more experience again. I'd suddenly see the beauty in it.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful conversation, Justin. I'm really grateful. And I can feel the... So it's funny when we have these conversations, it's like we're generating conversation to talk about and we have this source here. And every week I notice that simultaneously the conversations we're having are affecting me at the same time. It's like... That sounds a bit obvious, but I could be here just trying to find out what there is to say. But I notice the quality of what we're doing, the impact that it has on me, is that I can feel my nervous system and my perception shifting around as we have the conversation. Like it really somehow furnishes my heart and mind with new links into life. And I'm just appreciating in this moment the kind of settling and the kind of relief and the kind of different kind of breath I take because of the conversations that we have. And I feel really grateful for that and feel like maybe that's also why people like coming here to be with us too, is because there's a way that these conversations are very supportive of the undoing of the things that don't serve us so well. And so I guess I just want to thank everybody for being here and being open to that. You know, there's an openness required to be in these conversations that I know, Justin, you and I are always trying to cultivate that kind of openness. And anyone who listens also has to have been up to that project of undoing in some way. It, you know, you could be at the beginning of your undoing, or at the middle, or the somewhere near the end of your undoing, who knows? But it really does require a kind of openness and a kind of looseness about what we think, not being so sure of absolutely everything all the time, not believing everything that we have held very close in terms of our patterns and habits and everything. And I want to appreciate that in all of us, that we're willing to let go of things. And to thank everybody for that part of themselves being here, and for you and me doing that too. So we can be in receipt of all these wonderful sources and the things that we say and think and feel. So I think that's probably the time for us to end. And just want to say another deep thank you for this thing that we have here. It's really wonderful, and I'm really grateful. And we will be back next week on Sunday at 9 a.m., hopefully a little closer to 9 a.m. this time. So we'll see you all there in this lovely place next week.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye.